Good evening. This is, you'll see, if you've read through your thing, this is actually a coaching workshop, so that means that there's going to be a lot of interaction. So our first thing before we do anything else is, what's the number one reason why somebody who wants to write a book doesn't write a book? The number one reason why somebody who wants to write a book doesn't want to write a book. Who wants to write it? Go up there first and write something up there. Oh, I thought you were getting up to do it. Good. Go up there. Anybody else? Just go write something. A word. Who else? Who else? You can just get in line. You know, I don't have to give you a pen. Here, oh, here. Anybody else? Thank you. Well, they're writing, this is Montserrat. You should all have a Mont Blanc.
I should just
thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Number one reason why somebody who wants to write a book doesn't write a book. Number one reason. Okay, what are little papers? Oh, okay, so two scattered maybe?
Yes.
Good, because somebody else before we started said they just have some bits of their book everywhere. Okay, so number one reason why somebody who wants to write a book doesn't write a book. Too much work, no one will like it, no time, they never write anything down. I'm assuming that's the author. Can't narrow it down, too many little papers or too scattered. That's really good. Anybody else want to just shout one out that was just too embarrassed to write anything?
Don't know where to start.
Well, bingo, that's the number one. That's the number one reason. I'm going to put out that up there. Do not know where to start. That's something like 40% of the people or more that want to write a book don't write it. They don't know where to start. So what's the number one emotion? I didn't write that down. What's the number one emotion you experience when you think, I would like to write a book? Is it, whoa, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be so easy. Everybody's going to love it. I'm going to be like that British guy that last year in 2015 wrote his detective novels and made $450,000 never leaving his house. That's going to be so much fun. Everybody's going to come to my book opening party. They're going to love it. Is that your first emotion?
No.
It's only your first emotion if you're delusional, okay? What's your first emotion, number one emotion that people experience when they say, I want to write a book, or they think I want to write a book, or they see a link that says, I can help you write your first book workshop? Number one fear?
Yeah.
Just a fear. Fear, yeah. Thought I heard that. Who said that? No, somebody else said that right here. Right in here. Somebody said fear. Krisha. Krisha's afraid to... afraid to admit she said fear. So that's the number one emotion, okay? So, but the number one reason is they don't know where to start. So tonight we're going to help you where to start. We're going to teach you how to strategies on how to start, how to find a topic, what to cover in your topic. You don't have to write this down. Almost everything's going to be in your book, or a lot's going to be in your book. How to find chapter headings, how to find out what's in each chapter. That's not all just tonight. And then we're going to work through what the front of your book looks like, what the back of your book looks like, what your first page might look like. Your first couple things in there just to make it look really professional. We're going to work on author's bio. And if we have time at the very last day, we will work on maybe something. If you're a coach or you're a speaker, you can write down. We'll work on a little advert for you to put in the back of that. Or if you're a salesman or if you have a company or anything that you want to do, we're going to do all of those things, okay? But it's going to take you engaging in it, okay? And it is awesome to write a book. It's so much fun. I wrote a little tiny book. I meant to look at it. It's been a while ago. It's this little one right here. I'll talk about this. This is my first one. I have a second one that I just like okay. This one is just a compilation of about 20 blog posts that I wrote. And it's not been a bestseller on Amazon. My biggest purchaser has been my mother. All right? So she's bought several, probably 150 or more copies of this and handed it out to everybody. And so I'll talk about what that means and what it means to me. And I was interested that Jim Sim is here because Jim is a Panamanian missionary that's from Scotland. And we've been together in and out at different times of our life and not arguing or fighting and not getting together, just in different places in our lives. And, we've been taken to Scotland and the UK. Like, this will be our third time coming this September, and we go over there, and it's large part because we've written stuff and people have looked at it, and they actually connect before you get there. They can know you some. Even doing the work of doing this workbook for your workshop, it says something about this class. We're going to take it seriously and things like that. And it's fun to have your book on your Kindle. It's fun to have your friends' books on your Kindle. And it's fun to help people find out what they want to write. And so that's what we're going to do here tonight, okay? There's something on page 7 in your workbook. The very last part, not the very last part, where it has like knowledge is potential power. I don't want you to go away with a whole bunch of knowledge today, next Wednesday or the following Wednesday. I want you to go away with a whole bunch of potential power. So whatever you learn today, you will have 7 days to apply it, which could mean writing it, could be serious about doing some chapters, it could be serious just about organizing it, thinking about it, going collecting all of those scattered pieces and putting them in one physical file or one digital file. It can be learning to honor your desire to write and putting something on the calendar before you leave tonight. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but next week we'll really talk about honoring your calendar and honoring your desire to write. So it might be those things, but it's really y'all applying those things, fully engaged, not expecting for me to teach for 45 minutes, take a break, teach for 45 minutes, do it the same thing next Wednesday, do the same thing next Wednesday. You go away, you know a lot about a book. And by the way, this class is not about being a writer. It's about being an author. About writing a book, not about being a writer. You don't need great grammar. You don't need to be a great storyteller. You just need to find out what you want to say and say it the best way that you can. And we're going to talk about how you can say and write your book without actually even typing anything out. Okay? And there's no tricks to it. It's just called technology. All right. So turn to page 8. And this first page here is 8. There's a couple of these page 8s that says bright ideas for my book. These are for you to take notes, for you to have ideas about your book. As you start thinking, oh, I do have some ideas, write them down, capture everything. Be unafraid to capture every idea that you have. I'm working on a book right now, and it's going to be my longest book at something like 80 pages or something like that, 80 or 90 pages. And I don't know what the tagline is going to be. So Jim, yesterday, I had emailed him. He gave me like 20 taglines. How many good taglines do I need out of those 20?
Taglines?
Taglines, just like a book title that has a tagline for the title, like what, like a short summary in like 5 or 6 words. I just need one, right? I don't need 20 great ones. I just need one that fits. But what we don't want to do, we're often afraid to write down 20 or 50 topics, 20 or 50 taglines, 20 or 50 ideas, 30 chapters where we only need 12 chapters or 8 chapters or 9 chapters. So I want you to, these pages are in here for you to write a lot of stuff down. Don't just write down things that I say, write down things that come up in your mind. Like you go, oh, that reminds me, this would be a good idea for this, and write it down there and honor your stuff, okay? So why should you write a book? If you write a book in page 9, if you write a book, you will get noticed and your topic will be highlighted. So you might think, you know what, I don't really want to get noticed, but I do want to get my topic highlighted. If you're a businessman, a salesman, a speaker, or a coach, you definitely want to get noticed, okay? Now, on most of my books, I think it says in the bio there somewhere that I'm a certified life coach. I do leadership coaching. And that like helps everybody look at that book and read it, and then they think about me in this way. And somebody we know, we'll talk about this in a little bit, if you write a book, you assume that they're an expert at least on what they wrote the title on.
Yeah.
Right? So and you can actually come to that. So if you want to get noticed, your topic to be highlighted. So here's a couple questions for you. You can write them on page 8 or you can just listen and maybe some of these will perk you up here. Where do you want to get noticed? Where do you personally want to get noticed in the marketplace? What topic do you want people to hear about? Maybe it's a ministry thing. Maybe it's a tragedy thing. Maybe it's a thing that you're working to stop in the world or stop in the world. And so you can that topic. If you write something, you can highlight that idea. You can highlight that principle. You can highlight that experience that you've had. Or you can highlight something that you want to call attention to. And you know what? Maybe you think the rest of the world is already highlighting that topic. But there's tons of people out there that will never read a book you send to them. But you write a small book, you put your name on it, and you say, here's a book, they'll read that book. And you'll just have informed them of something. You'll just have shifted something in them by what you thought, by what you took the time and energy to write down, and by being a good steward of your thought life, of your emotional life, and of your experience in your life, okay? Second one, when you write a book, you become the authority on the subject. It could be on any subject. It could be on religion. It could be on politics. It could be on parenting. It could be on a one single topic like business. It could be a single topic like real estate. It could be finances. And then you can narrow down what you want to talk about, and you will become an expert in that area. Okay? And it highlights you, and it properly promotes you. And it's also the world's best business card. A little $1.50 book is a really good calling card for you to have. When your book is written, you will automatically become more respected by others and more valuable to others. And, you know, we're all selling something all the time, whether we think we are or not. We're selling our lifestyle, our belief system, our politics. And I mean selling in a good way. We're offering people something of ourself when we have a conversation with them, whether it's on Facebook. So when you write a book, you become respected and you become valuable to other people. They want to talk to you about those things. This little prayer book here, my dad's been passed away for about 13 or 14 years now. My mom got married 2 years ago. I did their wedding, and I probably had 8 or 10 people come up and talk to me about this book. I was the expert. It was a big wedding, large wedding, a long day with everybody. I was an expert not just on prayer, but they talked to me, even though they maybe hadn't been in church forever, hadn't talked about prayer forever, they talked to me about something because I had a book with my name on it. And so whether it's a spiritual thing or a very practical thing, or just something that you want to have done better and communicate better in a language that only you can share it in, then that's an important thing. And then number 4, it's difficult to get noticed in a noisy world, isn't it? Now that I think about that. But with your book in their hand, people get a better picture of who you are, how you operate, what you think. And that's that business card. It's like having a business card multiplied by 1,000 times. So what picture do you want people to see of you? You have the picture you present right now when you showed up here. That's a picture. You have a Facebook profile, probably. That's a picture that people see of you. You maybe have a work profile you go to and you do work on LinkedIn. You have a church group profile probably that you go to and you look at something. And what writing a book does, it helps give a picture of maybe a deeper, longer conversation that you wouldn't sit down and have a 90-minute conversation with everybody, but with a book on a topic that you love and are passionate about or a story that you've learned, you could actually sit down with them through what you wrote and have that 90-minute conversation with them. And you're really giving them permission to know you, and you would be surprised how much they then want to let you know them. Number five is when you write a book, it'll help you grow your business. Why? Because you're an expert on that thing. You're an expert on it. And writing a book will make you feel more confident. And tell you what. So write something, put your name on it, on the back of it, say, I'm so-and-so, and I wrote this book, and here's my experience in this area. And before you feel confident, you'll feel really, really stupid. You'll be like, it's called the imposter syndrome. What do I know about this topic? Oh, no. And maybe when you read it like a month ago, you loved it, but now that you finalize it and you're putting it down in something, you're like, oh, gosh, what was I thinking? But you still get beyond that fear, and you click that button, and you publish it, and you get it done. So Brian Tracy, speaker and coach and business guy, says down at the bottom, move out of your comfort zone. You can only grow if you're willing to feel awkward and uncomfortable when you try something new. So, you willing to feel awkward and uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Some of you are. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm going to be uncomfortable and awkward tonight. Look to a couple people. Shout it back. Turn around. Turn around. Now you're going to feel awkward and uncomfortable. Some of you are confessing that you're always awkward and make people uncomfortable. I didn't say that. I didn't say confess that you're awkward and make people feel uncomfortable. All right? So that's really important. So when you're thinking of an idea, don't edit out the idea out of your head. Jot it down, okay? So page 10.
I have that awkward look.
All right, these first, I'm just going to read through these five on page 10. The big myths. No one reads anymore. I don't have enough time. I'm not a good enough writer. No one will care if I write a book. I don't have any good ideas. None of it's true. Okay? Here's the counterpunching truths. Everyone reads. People are actually reading more than they've ever read before. They're just reading it in smaller and smaller and smaller bits. So you don't have to get a 180-page book or a 300-page book. Statistically, now we have Kindles. They're finding out that almost nobody finishes a biography. When they buy a biography, an 800-page biography, almost nobody reads it. Something like 90% of people finish a novel. It's very, very low percentage of people that read a nonfiction book that finish it. They don't finish it to completion. They skip it around because electronically they're changing all that. So a book under 80 pages, around 80 pages right now, is completed more than any other size book around. All right? So you don't need a huge book. You don't need a huge book. And that's a huge barrier we have, that people are reading less, but people are reading more. How many times? You look at your phone like 160 times a day. You pick it up, you're reading all the time. We're reading. We're reading in different ways. And the Kindle, and it gives us an opportunity to be authors and to get our stuff out there. So everyone reads, almost everyone. You have 168 hours every week, so that kind of takes that I don't have enough time out of there. You're not a good enough writer. We mentioned this. You want to be an author, not a writer. Nobody really cares. Nobody buys somebody's book and say, oh, he's an amazing writer. You go, I love that author. I love his story. I love his ideas. I love what he thinks about the world. I like what you don't think he's an amazing writer. Grammar Nazis, really highly educated people with an English degree care about the writing part, but most people don't. I read this huge novel by Justin Cronin, and it was a second in a series. It's like 850-page hardback. I read it over summer vacation, and it's an end of the world story. See, I don't have to know how to say that word. See, I just proved my point. So what you do, he had whole paragraphs that ended down here, like three or four sentences. He had them, the same one, start up here. So something went wrong with the publishing. They had a little bit of editing problems, but nobody. It's an amazing story. You want to read that story. So don't get hung up on, I'm not a good writer. No one will care if I write a book. I am proof that I care and my mother cares. So you really, if you care, then write it. And if a couple other people will care, then write it. And you guys have people that could utilize your story. And I don't have any ideas. You're full of amazing ideas. So we're going to do two things. We're going to talk about time in just a minute. But we're going to spend most of tonight coming up with ideas, okay? But before you do, I want you to circle down there the first five, the big myths. I want you to circle the biggest problem you have, or the biggest myth that is your problem, the biggest myth you need to bust. Because some of you may have time, but you're like, I don't have any ideas. All right, now turn around and share it with your neighbor. Not the neighbor that you know. I mean, share it across the aisle or something like that. Turn around, there you go. I mean, not the same person every time.
You have a lot of good ideas.
See how easy that was for her to say, yes, you do.
Run. I can talk to you. And your mom. And Jill.
And me.
And I care.
You care about us all.
I do. That's the weird thing about me. That's right. I would probably buy every one of them. I would have it on my Kindle even if I didn't. So this is what I heard somebody say. Somebody looked at somebody and said, what's your number one thing? They said, I don't have enough ideas. And this was her response. Yes, you do. Of course you do. See, when it's somebody else's myth, it's easy to see how silly it is. But when it's our myth, it's like, this is really true. I don't have any ideas. Yeah. All right. So how many had number one as their biggest myth? Number two is their biggest myth. Time. Number three is their biggest myth. Number four, no one will care if I write a book. Number five, I don't have any good ideas. That's pretty evenly distributed. All right, so let's go over to this page 11. Right next door. All right, so this idea that I don't have enough time is the most consistent lie we tell ourselves. This idea that I don't have enough time is the most consistent lie we tell ourselves. And we live by it daily and weekly. So the things that we really want to do, we say, I want to do them. It's really my heart to do it. God's told me to do it. And that's all I want to do in my life, but I don't have any time. Okay? It's a consistent lie that accumulates over time into feeling very, very deeply true. All right? So I want to help you bust that. So question number one, I spend blank hours a day watching TV, movies, YouTube, etc. Write down how many hours a day you spend doing that. Maybe cover it up. Maybe hide it from your wife or your husband. Cover it up, but just don't say, well, I don't watch any on Tuesday or Wednesday. I didn't watch any today. But generally, I mean, if you're watching sports 5 hours on Saturdays and 5 hours on Sunday, then you're accumulating some time. If you're binge watching a whole program of Netflix on Friday night. So think about that. If you divided it up into X many hours a week, divided by 7, how many hours every day? Number two, how many hours every day participating in social media?
Scary.
And some of you are probably might never be on video games or app games. But number three, I spend X amount of hours every day on video and put hours Number four, reading useless books, magazines, etc. So number four, I want to stop there on a minute on number four. Number four, we can feel really good about how much we're learning and learning all the wrong things or learning things we already agree with but not doing anything with it. It can be cathartic. It can make us feel good. But it could just be like playing a video game and not get us anywhere. Okay? So write down useless books, magazines, etc. Useless books like Vogue and People Magazine. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. So I love number five. I spend blank hours every day in chaos, unorganized, and without a prioritized list and or calendar that stewards my precious time and limited energy resources. Chaos is a huge resistance. Chaos is something we often like because then at the end of the day we can say, I was super busy. We do. We like it. We utilize it. And then number six, I spend blank hours every day over-organizing my life, my home, etc.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a hard one. That's a hard. Another thing is we feel like everything's in order. I can go to bed peaceful. I haven't done my heart's desire, but my floors are clean. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've so it's just really you have to think about that. So you might say, I don't watch any TV, I don't do any social media, I don't play any video games, but you spend all day running around doing crazy errands that you don't need to do. If you just made a list, you could do all your errands in a set amount of time. And then number seven, I spend blank hours of my day thinking about things I have no control over, which slows me down on everything else I do. So you don't get to say, I want to write a book, I want to make a difference in the world, and I want to keep up on every meme on Facebook, every little Facebook thing, and I want to know everything that Donald Trump and Hillary did right or wrong, and I want to know about every bus accident in the United States of America and every terrorist act in all the world. You don't get to do that and write a book that comes from your heart because your heart's clogged up. Your heart, it doesn't work. You can't write what you want. You can't think the thoughts that are yours that were given to you that only you can give out to the world if you do that. So the calculation. So blank, number one multiplied by seven equals how many hours this week you're going to do that, or generally in a week. All right, so do the math down there. Some of you can get out your phone for this purpose and write down your Okay, so I'm not going to ask you how many hours of each week you have in which to write your book, but we'll come back to that in the second night when we talk about honoring your schedule and putting some time on, because some of you might be able to write for like 4 or 5 hours in a block because you're like so able to focus on something you want. Some of you might have to write an hour, you know, five times a week to get that 4 or 5 hour block in. So we'll talk about some differences and how that works. But I want you to look at this page. I want you to think about a couple of these words. Are you... in your life, if you're doing all of these seven things and you have a lot of hours, which you're doing those seven things, then how bored are you really in your life? That you're so distracted by things that have nothing to do with you. And how boring will you actually become when you just become and you're just taking part of everything else around you? How little do you understand your purpose if you're doing all of these things in your life instead of writing a book, helping people, being with people, doing something courageous? Brene Brown says, by daring greatly, by actually getting into the ring, it's better to get in the ring, get punched in the face, and come out with a bloody nose and said, I tried to fight that guy, than to never get in the ring. But then tell the guy boxing that guy to go, oh man, you made a mistake there, your book's too small, your book's too big, I didn't like your book. But I'm never going to get in the ring and try to write a book. So for us, got to have purpose, but also look at those hours, and you might not understand how amazing you are and that you have like a voice to say something, and there's people that want to hear what you have to say that might only hear it from you. And then I want you to look at maybe you're just escaping from your life by not writing, by doing all of these things, and you're managing your pain. And so you might have to think about that. You might not be into anything that you think is super dangerous. You might not be into drugs or alcohol or anything abusing your body in any sort of way. But you just might be distracting yourself in every other way to keep you from being true to yourself, being your authentic self, your whatever you want to call it, your best you is what I call it. You can call it your essential self, your authentic self, your true self, the self God designed you to be, any of those things. So what you do with your time matters, all right? So flip over to page 12. I know that's a little hard, isn't it? I wish I had a joke right there because that feels a little heavy. Oh, doggone it. But I want you to realize that, you know, you can write a book, but you have to get some of the myths out of the way. You have to get this lie about time out of the way. You know, Stephen King wrote his first book. I know a lot of people have heard the story, but he wrote the girl book. What's the, not the girl book, but the, he wrote Carrie. He wrote Carrie as his wife. I believe his wife was a school teacher. He was a janitor at a school. They lived in Maine, and they lived in a dumpy trailer, and he kept getting rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection, and he finally got a rejection, and he literally took his manuscript and he threw it in the trash. Said, I give up. Of course, he got it out. His wife, actually, he didn't get it out. His wife got it out. And then he's written for all of his life. We have time. We have time. That's all in there. Okay. So the second page is the truth about time, which is just kind of a be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself and say something like, I'd rather binge watch a half interesting show on Netflix than write my book. I'd rather play 10 hours a week moving hay bales and taking care of digital animals than write my book. I'd rather spend 20 hours a week scrolling through carefully curated pictures that my Facebook friends chose to make themselves and their lives look fabulous than to write my book. So it's amazing the amount of time that we spend looking at things other people have done. So I want you to write somewhere in there a couple statements that you're being honest with yourself that sound like, I'd rather binge watch a half interesting show on Netflix than write my book. Can you take a couple minutes and do that? You don't have to show anybody. I'm not going to ask you to show anybody.
I was thinking that again. I'm sorry.
Write down a statement. So it says, be honest with yourself there on page 12. It says, I'd rather binge watch a half interesting show on Netflix than write my book. Write something down there. I'd rather read everybody else's book that are like books that I want to write instead of actually writing my book. Maybe I'll go on a fast and quit reading anybody else's book until my book is 50% done. There you go. Right there. It's a good idea. Mr. Reader. Yeah. I just solved all your problems right there. But I mean, think about that. What if, instead of if you want to write a... And this isn't really a creative writing class, but if you want to write a story about something, a fiction, a spy novel, a romance novel, a young adult novel, or something like that, then quit reading the ones that you're reading and write your own, and find your own voice. Okay, we're gonna skip over to page 18, then we'll come back to facing fear. We'll do a couple minute exercise. On page 18, there's 12 lines there. It says, types of things I read most about. Genres, titles, authors, magazines, topics. You could write something as the election or something in general like politics. You can put religion, or you can put how to reach millennials for Christ. You can write coaching, or you can write vision casting. You can write something. So write down as many things as you can in the next 3 or 4 minutes, okay? And it might be you might have an author I love Baldacci. I read everything Baldacci comes out with. I would put him down there. Okay? Maybe it's People magazine. Maybe it's Time magazine. Maybe it's Haircut Monthly magazine. Hat of the Month magazine. Maybe don't edit your thinking. Just write. Things that you enjoy the most. Things that authors, topics, magazines. No, you should have 5 or 6 by now, or more. Fill up the page, double space it. I mean, just put as much as you can down there. And even if you have 12, maybe you can be more specific about what kind of topics you like. Maybe you can narrow down on those topics. Anybody have 12 yet? But 8. Anybody have 8? Good. You guys are on the right track then. All right, so finish that up. And read over your list. And look and see if there's one thing you're surprised that you wrote down. And you rushed to write things down. You were doing it without thinking. Nobody's going to look at your list. So think about, is there something you were surprised that you wrote down that you really love to read most that maybe you haven't read in a long time? All right, so turn to somebody around you and tell them something on your list, several things on your list, the types of things you like to read most, authors, genres, titles, magazines, topics, stuff like that. You might have to get up and go find somebody. You're going to have to keep getting partners.
You said you're working on the kind of types of books you read most.
I didn't think of that until later.
Oh,
All right, so go ahead and wrap up your conversation. And you don't have to share your whole list. Turn to page 21. And everybody look up here. Everybody look up here. All right. It's just stream of consciousness writing. You're not trying to come up with a good list. You're not looking for any connections. You're just writing, okay? You're just writing one after another after another. You're not trying to impress anybody. You're not trying to figure anything out. You're not thinking, what is my topic? You're just writing. You're answering this question. So go to page 21. Write down 12 things that you know a lot about, okay? And you mark your set, go! Remember, it's not things you know a lot about. It's things you know a lot about, but it's not things I know a lot about. But, oh, so-and-so is here, and they know a lot more than me, so I have to scratch it off my list. It's just things you know a lot about, not compared to writing from Stephen King, not compared to math by somebody else, by Stephen Hawking, what you know a lot about. What you know a lot about. Just write it down. Don't stream of consciousness. Just write it down. Don't cross anything out. I should have 4 or 5 by now. Have 7 or 8 by now. Raise your hand if you have 10 yet. Awesome. She about 9 or 10 now. Keep going past 12 if you can. All right, finish up. All right, so go ahead and stop. This is what I want you to do. I want you to write down this sentence there. Book topics are never general, okay? But write down that down at the bottom. Book topics are never general. And here's what I mean. If you write a book about World War II, you can write a book about World War II. But the larger book would be about the Battle of the Bulge. Because the World War II, you're going to skim over a lot of stuff, but then you're going to just one battle. But then you go to one platoon in that one battle, the book even gets longer because you have a lot more conversation. And then the biggest books out on the market now are biographies about one person. Well, I listened to the Wright brothers. It was 18 hours long. It's on a couple days drive. It's about two people. It's just about two people. And you talk about planes in a very small book with a couple pictures if you want. So the topics get very, very clear. So on the things that you know about, take one of your things that you know about. Somebody should tell me something that they know about.
Prayer.
But what?
Prayer.
Prayer, okay. That's your topic. And I want you to do 1, 2, 3 lines out there on one of your topics, okay? And then I want you to take your general topic, and I want you to make 3 more specific topics. And here's what I'm talking about. We're going to do corporate prayer. We're going to do meditative prayer. We're going to do the Lord's Prayer. See how you just broke that down? You had one topic and you just broke it down into 3 clear, smaller, more specific topics, okay? So do that on your sheet. You have to do something else besides prayer. I just did that for you. It's not my job. All right, so did everybody get that? So when you're looking at a topic, you're looking for a topic. You're not going to write a book about prayer. You're going to write a book about, and you might not even do about corporate prayer. You might do 3 lines for that, 3 lines for that, and 3 lines for that. Okay, so you might focus on one part of the Lord's Prayer, and that's your entire book. Because you're writing a booklet. It's your first book. You're not looking for 800 pages. You're not looking for 400 pages. You're not looking for 200 pages. You're looking for maybe 40, 50 pages. Maybe. It doesn't even have to be that long. If you do it right and you have some good flow, you can edit it and make it look good and make it flow so you have some generous spaces in there by asking some good questions at the end of each chapter if it's a book on prayer, or putting some scripture in at the end of every chapter. There's things you can do that we'll talk about later, but maybe this is really how you help determine as you graph out your topic, okay? All right, so we're going to take a break right here. Take about a 5-minute break.